Hey, everyone. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Dean Mitchell. Grab a cup of coffee, settle into your favorite listening device or your viewing device. You're about to enter the smartest doctor in the room. Confession. I love doing these podcasts for so many reasons. Probably the main one is that, you know, with my medical background, I'm usually familiar with the topic and I can prepare and I learn even more talking to my expert guests, which eventually makes me the smartest doctor in the room, but usually it's all my guests. But today's podcast is on acupuncture, and I have to admit, I know very little about this area. I have never seen an acupuncturist myself, although many of my patients have, and they swear by it. My guest today is Lisa Rippey. Lisa came to my attention from actually a patient that saw her and had really wonderful things to say about how much she helped his back pain. I then found out, and I know Lisa likes to keep a low profile about this, that she's an acupuncturist for many of the pro football players. So do not try to book an appointment with her from September to the Super Bowl. Sorry, not going to happen. So with that, I'm really intrigued and excited to have Lisa Rippey join me today to discuss acupuncture.
Thanks for having me.
Okay.
I appreciate that. So, I mean, generally in my practice, I acupuncture has so many aspects to it.
Yeah.
And there is literally a treatment for everything.
We'll get into that. Yeah. I wanted to hear.
Yeah. So acupuncture is specialized, you know, so
well,
there
I want to get to that too. I mean, you're answering all my questions before.
Well,
we
here
start.
You go.
But all right. Podcast over. Sorry, guys. No. All right. But let's start with this, because I do like to ask a lot of times my guests this too. Like, when did you decide to become an acupuncturist? And I'm going to just add to that. You know, I will say for years ago, I was a little bit prejudiced. I tended to think like an acupuncturist had to be someone from Eastern Asian origin, because that's where it all emanated from. So anyway, how did you come to become an acupuncturist?
Well, actually, at the time I was, you know, I was training to be a competitive bodybuilder and I hurt my shoulder. Mm-hmm. And I was going to see a chiropractor and also seeing a massage therapist, and it was helping, but not going away. So the massage therapist sent me to an acupuncturist named Stephen Fernando. He ended up being part owner of a school that I ended up attending, which was Tri-State Institute of Traditional Chinese Acupuncture. And I went to him two times and he cured my shoulder pain. And wow. At that time, I wasn't sure what area I was going to be studying in school. I was getting all my sciences at that time. And
so you were in college. You like were in college around that time? Yes. Okay.
Yeah. Interesting. And I was thinking I was going to go to chiropractic school, but when my shoulder got better in two visits, it just like bells went off.
Wow.
And I just decided this is for me. And I'm going to, you know, I'm going to find out, write to the state, find out, you know, because at that time there was no internet, find out what the requirements are to become an acupuncturist. And I fulfilled all those sciences. And, you know, then I went to Tri-State, which Dr. Fernando was part owner of at the time. They no longer exist and they've been acquired by Pacific College of Acupuncture.
Yes, I've heard of them. Yeah. And how long is the training typically? Is it 6 months, a year, 2 years? How long is the training?
It's 5,000 hours, 3 years.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's pretty real deal here. All right. Let me ask you this also too. You know, again, like as I mentioned, you know, I do functional medicine in my practice and immunology. So I'm in like both those worlds. That's why I'm so open
to
different things. Yeah. And I really enjoy it. I help a lot of patients, you know, dealing with their microbiome who still suffer from chronic fatigue and other irritable bowel syndromes. But what I do know about Eastern medicine, because for a while I did special training in meditation and yoga, and you know, that leads you down that whole Eastern medicine path. So I am familiar vaguely with chakras and a little bit about meridians, but maybe you could explain a little bit in layman's terms to somebody who is suffering and say, you know, how does acupuncture work?
Well, so that's, you know, that's a loaded question because depending on what you're coming for is how it works. So I'm going to explain how it works in the case of chronic pain. How about that?
Yes, that's an important one. So let's deal with that. Yeah.
Very important. So basically in Chinese medicine, pain is considered to be stuck or stagnant blood. And so when I put an acupuncture needle in you, your brain registers it as a foreign body, and your brain is saying, what the heck is that? Mm-hmm. Just like if you got a splinter, your brain knows something crossed the skin barrier.
Right.
And it has to send receptor cells to the site of the needle or the splinter, and they get there via the blood. So essentially, when I stick a needle in you, your brain is forcing the flow of blood. And if the premise of Chinese medicine, chronic pain being stagnant blood, if I can get the blood to flow again, the pain goes away. And that's literally how it works.
Well, that's a great, straightforward explanation. I really like that.
Thank you.
But what I do have, my little knowledge, which is dangerous, is that I know that sometimes, like with acupuncturists, they'll put a needle in someplace, not with it, like, you know, let's say you might have gone for your shoulder pain, and all of a sudden he's putting a needle in your ear or your foot, and you're like, what does that have to do with it?
And that's because there is a meridian system, and all meridians, they basically, they're energy pathways that come from organs. And they run through the musculature. So if there's an energy pathway that is, let's say, the large intestine,
right,
starts in, on this thumb and comes up through your arm and goes all through your shoulder. So if you're going to have some pain in your shoulder, not only am I going to go in here, because it's not just about, oh, it hurts there, let me stick a few needles. That's called dry needling.
Okay.
That's dry needling.
Right.
Which I'm going to say dry needling can work because why? Because of what I just explained when the needle crosses the skin barrier. Right. However, if you want to filter the pain out in a better way,
yeah,
if you utilize the distal points, that's when you're really in business. Okay. I've never advertised one day in my entire career, and everything is word of mouth, 100% for me.
Yeah, I know. It's hard to get hold of you. Right, right. Well, that's a wonderful thing. That's the way medicine used to be. Now everybody, I mean, in medicine, we've gone through, it's really poison medicine. We've gone through, before people had a trusted practitioner till back in the day. I remember 15 years ago when people were picking their doctor out of an insurance network book, you know, and doctors didn't even know each other. And now the doctors are moving left and right and they're employees. And it's really, I think people are kind of pretty fed up with the system and they are seeking alternative practitioners. But that gets me to my next question. And word of mouth is very important, but what would you say, I mean, again, in a nice way, what makes a very good acupuncturist? You know, I mean, again, I'll just preface that, like in medicine, there's obviously you have to go through a certain amount of training and there are good people, good doctors. And then there are people who are really just much better than others. And in my opinion, honestly, and I hope that applies to me, is that they never stop learning. And then they keep on communicating and staying on the and getting experience.
And to be honest with you, I just am completing my doctorate with Pacific College right now.
Oh wow! So you haven't stopped either. So, but let's say if somebody was in you know, Boston or California, and they said, "Lisa, I can't come to see you, not at least regularly." But how should I find a good acupuncturist? What should I? I mean, word of mouth. Should I know if they've had training at this institute? Is there even a good question I can ask them?
You want to first make sure that they're licensed by the overseeing board, which is the NCCAOM. That's, you know, basically the governing body for acupuncture. And so at least that much, you know, I'm a word of mouth person. Like I said, I never advertised one day in my life. Of course, I started before there was internet, that. And, you know, in this school that I'm in, they're all into this, you know, getting everything on the internet. And I just feel like if you do good work, your patients are going to tell everybody. They're going to tell
their grandmother. Sure.
There's no question about it. And that's literally just go out there and do good work, because I don't think I'm any better than the next guy. I just got lucky with a great group of people that love my work. And they just keep telling their friends and family for now. This is going on my 27th year in practice.
Wow. Wow. You're like me. Oh, wow. Impressive.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this too. You know, and again, it's interesting. Years ago, I took my grandmother who suffered from terrible migraines, and it was really kind of really in a bad state. And she exhausted all conventional medicine. And right across the hall from me was an acupuncturist. He was a Chinese acupuncturist. He trained in China. And, you know, it's funny, we're going to get to this. outside his door, it was wafting all of these herbs and kind of smelly stuff. But anyway, so how would you say your training is different, or is it, from some of the people who've trained in Asia, you know, China specifically? I mean, is there, I mean, a big difference, or is just...
Well, I think more than it being a difference between, say, China and the United States, my school was really more geared towards a different type of acupuncture, which was more of a mix of Japanese acupuncture and trigger point acupuncture. So it was based on a lot of the teachings of Janet Travell.
Oh yes, I've heard of her. She took care of John Kennedy. Apparently, she was like the real. I've heard this before.
Yeah,
because he suffered with terrible back pain. Yeah.
Yeah. So Mark Seam, who was the owner of my school, and also Stephen Fernando, they, you know, developed this trigger point acupuncture with, you know, having meetings with Janet Travell. So that's the difference between this Pacific and tri-state was pretty much that.
Well, so that's a little bit more Western meeting Eastern versus just pure Eastern kind of acupuncture.
A little bit. And that's why the book that Mark Seam wrote was called A New American Acupuncture.
Interesting.
And it was,
how do you spell his last name?
S-E-E-M.
Oh, interesting. What's it called? The New American? Interesting. Okay. The listeners might want to take a look at that. I find that really interesting. Let me ask you this too, because you obviously talked about your own experience and you got better so quickly, which obviously every patient wants. They don't want to hear, I'll be better 6 months, a year from now, and feel like they're being, you know, strung along. I guess obviously we have to get to, it depends on the problem, but should acupuncture work within a few treatments that you see you're improving, or does it really take time?
You know, it depends. So it depends on the case, you know. So if somebody just hurt their back, they tweaked themselves, I could probably get that person better somewhere between 1 and 3 treatments, significantly better. Okay. But if somebody has a structural issue, you know, like your disc is, you know, there's nothing left.
Right.
I can maintain and help you with your pain without you having to take drugs. And you're probably going to have to come once a week, or once every 2 weeks, whatever you could afford, because I don't like to spend people's money. And there are people who come once a month because that's all they could afford. And that works for them, because I really feel like some acupuncture is better than no acupuncture. Because if you think of that, the organs have these pathways of energy running through the musculature. Right. If the muscles are free and flowing, the energy to the organs is always going to be better. So it's like you're going to maintain your health. And if you look at how much chronic pain there is in the United States alone, and you see our old people walking, everyone's walking like an old person, it's terrible. But if you're in Asia, you're seeing people who are 100 doing Tai Chi at sunrise and sunset.
Absolutely. That's how everybody, I'm just thinking about that the other day. You know, it's like, how I was down in Florida, and you do see obviously a very elderly population there, and you're seeing everybody with walkers, this, that, and you say, does it really have to be that way? When you see sometimes these people in Asia doing these beautiful Tai Chi exercises, and everybody's riding their bike Well, it's interesting because, you know, I've said this several times in my podcast, because I've also done some podcasts on what's called vagal nerve stimulation, which fascinates me, because, you know, what I say, and I think this dovetails to exactly what you do. I said medicine really started when it got more credibility. It started with anatomy. You know, we did anatomy structures, and then surgery came along. Then the next iteration of all this was we got better at chemistry and biochemistry, and the pharmacology industry bloomed. And I think the next iteration of medicine is going to be electric medicine. I think it's going to be understanding how our energy, you know, at that higher level works, and how do we somehow work with that, you know, to get better, you know, more vibrant health.
Well, yeah. And it's funny because this whole doctorate program at Pacific is really geared towards trying to integrate us into the mainstream system. You know, not all insurances cover us. As a matter of fact, hardly any cover us. And the most interesting thing about this is Medicare is covered by acupuncture, but only if you're a medical doctor. And the percentile of medical doctors that have full acupuncture training and not just some dry needling course that they learned on the side is so minimal. So it's Medicare, and there has been a bill. It's called the Judy Chu bill in Congress for 10 years about paying acupuncturists who have 5,000 hours of training to do acupuncture.
Oh, good.
So that's kind of crazy.
We all should have had the chiropractic lobby. They are amazing. What those guys have accomplished puts everybody, even the doctors, to shame. Let me ask you this too. A typical session, and again, it varies, obviously, person, you know, to person, depending on the problem. But what is it? Typically, they come in, you put in the needles, and then they sit there for a half hour. Is that typical? When I've seen, I accompanied somebody to an acupuncture visit, and that's what it seemed like. You know,
because that's, you know, what other people do, but because I had a massage background, I go by feel for my points. So I, you know, do palpation or probing.
Oh, so you're working that whole time. Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much I am.
You're in the room with them that half hour or however long it's going to be. Typically,
I'm in the room for a good 15, 20 minutes. And then I'm going to leave them for 10, 15 and come back. And I may or may not flip the person over depending on what's going on. So, you know, the price can vary depending on how much time is spent.
Sure,
that
makes sense. And what about the needles? Because, you know, people used to be worried. And obviously I've seen it now too. They come in these like paper, like, you know.
Yeah. They're,
needle things. So are they ever reused on the same patient or is it a one-time deal? No.
They used to be a long, long time ago.
Yeah, right. Well, doctors used to boil their syringes. Right. You know, I mean, you don't want to get a shot back then. That was, they were like enormous. You know, right?
So now everything is disposable needles.
Okay. Is there anything that there's contraindications to doing acupuncture? Like if somebody has a pacemaker in or heart arrhythmia?
Well, you don't want to use electricity if somebody has a pacemaker, because, you know, you could always hook up acupuncture needles to electric if you felt like you needed a little extra.
Well, is that just like for a little extra juice? I mean, why would you do that? Why would you?
It is, or I personally use it when I'm having issues, but also say somebody had a stroke and you really need to
It sounds like my electric vehicle. You know, right now for some reason it's not charging well. It sounds like it needs some more extra juice. Kind of. All right.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
And I also sadly have a patient right now with ALS, and I use the acupuncture and the electric on her as well.
Interesting. You know, I just heard today too from a colleague of mine who's Jamaican, and he said, I was telling him we were doing this podcast today, and he goes, you know, a lot of women go to acupuncturists to get pregnant. So
that's right.
What's the deal on that? I never even heard that. So what is that about?
When I'm saying about specialization, there are acupuncturists who strictly do fertility.
Really?
Just like, wow. Yes, it's unbelievable. And, you know, I've had, you know, a few women cross my path who either wanted help getting pregnant, which I did do. I think I've had about 8 of them cross my path. And it, like I said, it's not my forte, but out of 8, 7 of them all got pregnant and they had already been through the gamut of hormones, this and that, and failed and gave up and came to me. And I guess, I think maybe when they give up, that's when their brain allows them to get pregnant, because they came when all else failed. I did the treatments, and like I said, 7 of 8, and it's not
that's
even my specialty.
Good, that's but a the pretty good is, percentage, yeah.
I know.
All right, let's get to one other thing, too, which obviously intrigues everybody. This whole thing with the NFL, I think you mentioned to me before we actually ever did this podcast that I guess one of the local New York Jet players or something found out about you and you helped them. And again, word of mouth must have really spread, because it sounds like you're kind of on call for the NFL. How does that work? If you don't mind sharing, I mean, are you doing multiple players? Are you following just one or two people who really want you there all the time for them? I mean, again, it's hard to leave the practice.
Yeah. But basically my practice is by appointment.
Okay.
So I don't, you know, just, you know, like today I happen to be in the office because I'm here, but it's by appointment only. So I don't have to worry about a shingle. So if I need to travel, I'm traveling and that's it. And my patients, they understand that because I've been doing it for years.
Well, I'm so, just saying, because I mean, because just out of curious of like, you know, the logistics, like, you know, again, you have these people who are sometimes coming regularly, whatever, too. And then you're really, I know you're super busy during the that full month. So you have to kind of juggle, get them in, and then you're.
It's becoming less and less now. So, you know, it was like, you know, for about 20 years. And now, you know, I think it's time I'm done.
Okay.
And, you know, it's like I said, it's less and less at this point. It's not groups of guys or anything like that. So,
you don't take care of Tom Brady, do you? Because he defied.
I don't. However, even if I did, that would be a HIPAA violation. I know. So
I'm joking. We're allowed to joke around here a little bit. Wow. So I know we covered a lot of things. I mean, as I said, I'm really fascinated by this. Okay, I guess really my last question, because I know you said your time is limited today.
Yes.
How do you balance between, you know, conventional allopathic Western medicine and what you do? Like you mentioned the example of, you know, you have a patient that's got a herniated disc. Now I know, and I'm not really an expert at this, I know doing those discectomies and everything are not a good thing. I mean, it kind of leads to other problems, but sometimes someone has a problem that surgery can help. So do you work or are any conventional physicians comfortable working with you saying, you know, Lisa, I'm going to do the surgery, but you'll do the rehab and essentially with the acupuncture? Or
I have more chiropractors than anything that always recommend me. And massage therapists. I have one orthopedic local guy that he sends me people that he can't help.
Yeah.
So, but I do send people. I'm interested in people doing this PRP stem cell stuff. I feel like that's the wave of the future when it comes to these things. Mm. And if I can't get somebody better significantly within 1 to 6 visits, then I feel like they might have to go another step. Because I, you know, unless they just have money and they like to come.
Right. I get it, right. That's like a wellness thing. But I guess what I'm saying, and again, you being a good practitioner, is that it would be a little bit scary. Let's say a patient came to you with chronic fatigue or something like that, and like, okay, you wanted to try the acupuncture, but maybe they have a metabolic issue, you know, that I would be able to pick up on blood testing.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, you could maybe help them, but if they have what we call hypocalcemia or hypomagnesemia.
I can't do that.
Right.
Exactly.
I mean, a supplement would help.
Exactly.
Last question, because, you know, it seems like acupuncture is very tied into herbal stuff. I don't know if it is in your practice. It is. Because, like, I just had a patient. Oh God, I forgot what her problem was. But she was telling me she was seeing, this is what made me think about you in this podcast, kind of, she's seeing her acupuncturist, and the only thing that was helping, and she came back to me to do some microbiome rebalancing, but she goes, the other thing too is, if I don't take the herbal teas that he provides me, I'm a mess. So I'm like, what kind of background is that? Because that's kind of like...
That's Chinese, that's herbal medicine. And so I did take herbal medicine, but the way herbal medicine works is, if they give you a prescription to drink a tea, it's not a forever tea. Mm. It's very rare that they say, this is the tea that you're going to drink forever. No, we check you again in 3-4 weeks. Mm-hmm. And if the pulse and the tongue and the way you feel haven't changed, we're going to adjust it, you know? And if you're better, we're going to take it away.
So do you make your own teas or do you have to work with a place? Because that's like another whole job, having a little pharmacy there.
I used to. I just loved all the substances. So when I first started out, I had them all. But then, you know, the style of my practice, it's hard to keep all that stuff. And now they've made it so easy. So there are places that
You could recommend a patient to go to get that, you know, can handle all the whatever, the compliance and the regulations, probably even for that.
Exactly.
Yeah. Because it becomes, it becomes obviously the more popular something gets, the more scrutiny it gets. And
that's right.
You know, and then, you know, unfortunately, it starts to put pressure on you to comply with all the regulations. Well,
exactly.
I've found this to be fascinating. I'm really glad I got a chance to meet you. Is there anything you want any of the listeners to be aware of, you know, any videos you've done online or any information that might help them in making a decision to see an acupuncturist, whether it's you or somebody else?
Well, I have really I don't really do much online.
You're like a ghost.
Kind of. I like to just be invisible and enjoy my life. I don't need, you know, a million people, you know, doing all that kind of stuff. And, you know, and I just want to work. I don't want to, you know, hype myself up.
Right.
You
like doing the work. That's a great practitioner. Uh-huh. Well, Lisa, thank you so much. I'll let you go back to your patients who want your help. And I hope our paths cross on Long Island one day.
Me too. Thank you so much.
All right.